And I want to commend you for overcoming this terrible bout of duvet fever that's so rife among the saints, usually in days like this. And man, this last song that we sang this morning. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to know you more. Now, I'm going to continue with the theme of simplicity. Keep it simple. It doesn't mean simplicity, it doesn't mean stupidity. And if I can just give you a good definition, I just read about this, of keeping it simple. Seeking to impress the congregation, a young seminary graduate incorporated the biggest words he could find in his Sunday morning sermon. It was a disaster. Stepping down from the pulpit, he met an old preacher who said, "Son, you spoke right over their heads this morning." Irritated and defensive, the young seminarian said, "Then why don't they stretch their necks?" To which the old preacher replied, "Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep, not my giraffes.'" So I will try, and by God's grace, to feed God's sheep this morning. Ever since Lisa phoned me about a month ago to share the word with us this morning. Sorry, I just have to interrupt here. Christopher asked me, Friday morning service, the kids, they won't be kids' church, but the children will be with you in the service. Now, since she asked me to share the word this morning, I've been reading books and listening to teachings and then comparing them to the words of Jesus. I'll be stressing so much. Read the red letter words of Jesus in the Bible. And I had to make the conclusion. To be a my topic this morning is discipleship. Disciples are followers of Jesus. And if you've listened to Andries and Werner and Hendrik in the last year or so, you'll discern that the top priority in this church is about discipleship. And I want to jump right in this morning, and I'm going to ask a very profound question. And I want you to listen carefully and see what the Lord is saying to you. Here's a question. Is it possible for a cultural Christians, for a cultural Christian to be not actually a follower of Jesus? I'll repeat. Is it possible to be a cultural Christian but not actually be a follower of Jesus? Let me explain. Is it possible to be doing cultural things like going to church regularly, which is a South African cultural thing, reading the Bible now and then, praying and living according to good Christian morals, or at least the Christian morals that are highlighted in a particular culture, but to actually not know Jesus? Is that possible? According to Jesus, it is absolutely possible. Not just for a few people here and there, but for a lot of other people. Let's read Matthew 7, verse 21 to 24. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man who built his house on the rock. There are many people who will be shocked one day to find that though they did Christian things in his name, they thought their eternity was secure, or they will discover they were deceived. Many people will be shocked to stand before Jesus one day and hear him say, I never knew you. Away with you. Away from me. So what does it actually mean, biblically, to know Jesus? That's a very important question eternally. Jesus' answer, and I'm to discuss that with you, and that is why we need a biblical church, and that's why we need biblical discipleship. Everyone who calls himself or herself a Christian has received the same mandate. Matthew 28:19 was not reserved for a chosen few. I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now, my first experience of being discipled, my wife and I were evicted from our church because of baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then we joined a Pentecostal church. Now, I was very shy. I never even knew the word discipleship. I'd never prayed aloud in front of anybody, not even in front of my wife. And if I did pray, I used to pray silently in my mind. And usually it was, Onze Vader, wat in die hemel woon, our Father in heaven. That's all I knew. So about the third time I visited this Pentecostal church, this pastor had his eye on me. He was going to disciple me, unbeknown to me. And the third time I was there, he started the service. He says, will Brother Bell please dedicate this service to the Lord? Now, if looks would kill, you would have died right on the pulpit there. But he continued. He took me wherever he went to visit the sick, to counsel those who are heartbroken, everywhere. And he taught me. He taught me. He was discipling me. What did Jesus mean by go and make disciples? During his last recorded conversation on earth, he said, what is the significance of the words, and are we really making disciples? What did Jesus mean by the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? We are thrilled with what we read about the kingdom, but very disappointed by what we see as a demonstration of this. We are convinced that our lives are supposed to be all about the kingdom of God, but who trained us, or supposed to have trained us, to live the life? Obviously, it should have been our parents, firstly, and secondly, the culture of the church. But sadly, I feel both have, with some inspirational exception, lost the heartbeat of this life. It seems that parents and church have succeeded in teaching us how to believe in Jesus, but not how to live Jesus. Salvation was very clear, especially to me at the age of 33, when I surrendered my life to Christ, but kingdom not. But it is time that the Holy Spirit wants to resuscitate both family and church again. Maybe you feel the same. Responsible to make disciples, but unsure if you are qualified. Now, during the time of Jesus, discipling or training was reserved for the elite scholars. Only elite students could dedicate their lives to learn from the revered rabbis of the time. Now, many of them, like Peter, James and John simply did not qualify. They had to pick up and carry on with their life support, the family trade, and carry on with life. They must have experienced a sense of inferiority, and many of us feel the same way nowadays. Inferior, not quite good enough to make disciples, because disciple making is reserved for the mature guys, the leaders and the pastors. And that is what we pay them for, isn't it? I have too much stuff to sort out in my life before I can make disciples. I'm so messed up, how can I disciple others? I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. Yes, most of us feel unqualified. But fortunately, discipleship is not about pointing people to you or your performance. It's all about pointing people to Jesus. But in the process of discipling others, I also change and I grow until I can always say, also say as Paul did, follow me as I follow Christ. In its simplest form, disciple making is about pointing people to Jesus. Pointing people to Jesus requires, for the sake of integrity, your life example to be pointed to Jesus as well. Therefore, it does not permit you to compromise your pursuit to become like Jesus. That's still number one in your life. When Delessie and I arrived from the north in Franschhoek in 1980, the town was, Franschhoek wasn't like it was today. So I once asked the Dominee there, I said, how many residents are, we're talking about the white community, how many residents are there in Franschhoek? And he says, let me see, there are 780 members of my church. Yeah, there are 780 people in Franschhoek. So the rest didn't qualify. In any case, this was the only church for 300 years in that town. And we came by God's grace and we planted the first charismatic church there. You know what? Our mission field were the church people. That was our mission field. We led them to the Lord. We baptized them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were evicted from the church. And within 3 months, we had 50 people in our home. We discipled them. It was so wonderful. But we didn't even know that we were doing it. It was like breathing in and breathing out. It was a natural thing to do. We'd never used the word discipling or discipleship. It came naturally. One of the Dominees, his wife, came to us. And she said, what have you got that I haven't got? She says, I wish I could become unsaved again, that I could repent and receive what you have. Well, she did receive it eventually. My brothers and sisters, we had favor with God. That's why we had favor with man. You might be too scared to make disciples, but doing nothing, and we made many mistakes, of course, but doing nothing will not help the cause either. Your inaction will not fill the gaps. Whether you want the responsibility or not, there are people who need you to point them to Jesus. And one of those guys who didn't make the cut after the first discipleship interview was Peter. He tried and he failed at discipleship and had to return to the family trade, fishing. But then Jesus stepped into his life. Now, I will continue a little bit later. We'll continue with Peter's story. Why have some members or so-called disciples left the church? Why are they leaving the church? Because number one, the church was not entertaining enough. Or the church down the road was more entertaining. Or because the worship wasn't good. Or the drums were too loud. Or the comfort, the convenience. Brothers and sisters, people leave when they don't want to be held accountable. Or when their work consumes too much energy. Or when disciple making is not their primary purpose in life. When the fundamentals of selfless, sacrificial life are not solid, all sorts of problems emerge. Now, why discipleship? Why are we convinced that true discipleship is essential and what it is all about? If you and I want an easy, unopposed, persecution-free life, then we should keep our faith to ourselves and not make disciples. But if you want our town, and in fact the world to change, and Christ to rule in and through everyone and everything, disciple-making is the only way. Disciple-making requires total attention and devotion in becoming like Christ and helping others to become like Christ, not only believing in Christ. In the Gospels, following Jesus and making disciples is seen as one thing. And we must ask ourselves, can we really be called Christians if we are not involved in disciple making? Now back to Peter. As usual, Peter and his brothers and some friends went out to fish at night. Now, this particular evening was very uneventful. They tried all night but were unsuccessful, and after hours of trying, returned to shore. The next day, they saw a popular rabbi come along, followed by a handful of people. Before long, so many people had joined that the rabbi needed to use a boat as a vantage point to address the crowd gathered on the shore. Jesus asked to use Peter's boat. After teaching the crowd, Jesus had a chat with him, and he suggested Peter go out and fish again. Peter responded, Luke 5 verse 5, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James, John, the sons of Zebedee. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Luke 5, verse 6 to 11. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Note, Jesus didn't say, First, I must pray for you, then you follow me. He just followed him. When Jesus offered Peter the chance to become a disciple maker, Peter replied, Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. That wasn't a thanks, but no thanks response from Peter. It was more of a please don't waste your time on me response. However, Jesus was not perturbed. If you feel that you are too sinful, too broken, unqualified, or unprepared, look up to Jesus. And he will say to you, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be a fisher of men and women. The invitation to share the kingdom of heaven is not reserved for the perfect or the ready. It never was. The fishing referred to by Jesus is not based on qualification or ability. It is based on obedience. Fishing for men and making disciples are one and the same thing. Matthew 4 verse 20 says, At once they left their nets, followed him. It was clear that they'd left everything, their calling, their trade, their lifestyle, their home, their friends, their family, all their worries, all the concerns, to follow Jesus. Of course, they could see Jesus physically. But my brothers and sisters, now he lives in us. And if we are sensitive enough to listen to that still small voice and obey, like she said, immediately, the blessing will come. It is based on obedience. To follow Jesus, you don't need to be super learned, but you need to be totally surrendered. Embarking on this mission to follow Jesus demands an all or nothing attitude. Jesus also said in Luke 14 verse 26, I just want to read you from the Living Bible because he sort of tries to make it very soft. You cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your father and mother, your wife and your children and your brothers and sisters. When Jesus asked Peter to follow him, what did he say next? Follow me, and I will make you a better person, or more knowledgeable, or a powerful leader, or financially prosperous. No, Jesus told Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Following and fishing are linked. They go together. Following Jesus without making disciples was never an option for Peter, and it should not be an option for you and me. It is essential that they go together. My brothers and sisters, the gospel leads to fulfillment. Die evangelie lei tot vervulling. En die enigste ware vervulling in die lewe van 'n wedergebore persoon is wanneer hy 'n verlore siel na Christus toe lei. The only true fulfillment that a born-again Christian can experience is when you lead a lost soul to Christ. Nothing else compares with that. But it's as if Christians have two big commitments in life: to commit to follow Jesus and to commit to make disciples. But for Peter, to follow Jesus, to make disciples was one inseparable choice, not two. If one surrenders his life to Jesus, but does not commit to make disciples, one should question whether they are actually surrendered to Jesus at all, or just committed to him. Now that's a bit heavy. Let me explain. The word commitment is not found in the Bible. But that has become the favorite word lately in the modern church of today. Substituting surrender with commitment. If I commit to give this brother R1,000 a month, but as soon as my financial situation changes, I'm in charge of my commitment and I break that commitment. But if I surrender my life to Christ, there's no turning back. Total surrender, what he desires from you and from me. If you want to coast through this Christian life, then keep your faith to yourself. If you want an easy, unopposed, persecution-free life, don't make disciples. But 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And my brothers and sisters, I should stop just there. But I can't. I have to remind all of us and myself about the cost of discipleship. Christians are being persecuted around the world, but not because they follow Jesus or attend illegal church gatherings. They are being persecuted because they make disciples, and in doing so, they multiply the faith. When they keep their faith to themselves, the authorities rarely bother them. It is when they are on the move, sharing their testimonies and making disciples, that they become dangerous. And we can argue that Jesus was crucified because he said he was the Son of God. Of course, it's true. But I also believe he was crucified because he made disciples, becoming a danger to the establishment. When last did you share your testimony of your salvation with an unsaved person? Remember in Revelations, "And they overcame him," the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." I put up my hand in church service and was prayed for. Is that your only testimony? Surely something must have happened in your heart at that moment. Either peace or joy. And you wanted to share, would tell everybody about what had happened to you. You know how powerful that testimony is to a person who does not know Christ? But we never hear that anymore. What did Jesus say when crowds showed up? "Oh, so glad you're here. Come back next week, and we have this program and this entertainment. Oh, and we're having a wonderful worship band next week. You don't want to miss that. Bring a friend." Jesus did not beg, but they begged him, "Can I follow you?" And he answered, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but I have no place to lay my head. I am homeless tonight. I do not know where I'm going to sleep. You want to follow me?" That is Jesus. Jesus was so radical, brutal, honest. Read those words in red. Jesus was direct, so much different from so many of our preachers today. Just read the Word of God. Our eternity depends on it. And take some time to understand the words of Jesus. All that I've been taught all my life, how does it compare to what Jesus said? Luke 14, 25-27, "And great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, hate his wife and children, brothers and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.' Yet the New Testament commands me, I must love my wife. And I love her with all my heart. But then Jesus says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. So if you compare my love for my wife to how I should love God, it must seem as if I hate her." My brothers and sisters, the first words, anyone who wants to follow me must hate their father and mother, your wife and kids. It's not asking Jesus to keep your kids healthy, getting good grades at school, etc. How about our own lives? Are we scared of death? Scared to lose your life? Then you cannot be my disciple. When we see the crowd, we want to keep the crowd. The bigger the crowd, the more blessed we are. But when Jesus sees a crowd, he gets skeptical. Are you sure you guys are following the right guy? Because if you want to follow me, you have to put me so far above everyone. I know your kids are cute, but I'm the creator of your kids. I created you. I am a treasure, and those who follow me would gladly forsake everything they have to follow me. Verse 27, and who does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Are we afraid to pick up that cross? He says, I'm going up that hill to a cross there and die. I'll be nailed on the cross and I'll die. So unless you are willing to come with me and grab a cross and be crucified next to me, don't bother. You really want to pick up your cross? I didn't mean cross, like just skipping a few meals. Our response should be, you are number one in my life. I will follow you wherever you go or lead me. I cannot dare not stay behind and let you go. Verse 28 to 30, Jesus was saying, if you're going to build a tower, don't you first sit down and count the cost and say, man, do I have the money to finish this tower? Am I willing to give up everything to finish this? I want you to think now, and I want you to follow me. I don't want you to lift your hands to indicate that you accept me as Savior because you don't want to go to hell. It all starts with lifting your hand. That's a starting point. But I want you to follow me. Most of the time we do not explain, or we don't tell people there is a cost involved in following Jesus. Because there are people whom you love and dearly, and you dearly want them to know, for them to know Jesus and to follow him. Then we just say to them, come on, it's easy. All you have to do is pray after me. I'm preaching to myself, my brothers and sisters. I'm so guilty. So they continue, but soon find out it is hard. God did not give me that job I applied for. God didn't help my kids as I understood he would. I prayed and trusted him to heal my wife, my husband, but he did not. Can you believe it? I've got a grandson at Stellenbosch University, his second year. The other day I got a WhatsApp from him saying, Opa, I think I'm not so sure whether I want to follow Jesus anymore. Because it's the second girlfriend now that's dumped me in 2 years. So my boy, go your way. There's a dangerous teaching out there that says Jesus will make you healthy and he will make you wealthy. But that is not what Jesus taught. When you accept Jesus, you will have all this health and wealth and power and you will be great. But Jesus said, life is going to be more difficult. People will begin to hate you because they hated me first. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they hated me, they will hate you. Again, I want to remind you, read the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Count the cost of becoming a disciple ahead of time before you call yourself a Christian. Because you could lose your life. Your family might hate you for doing what I'm asking you to do. Figure out the cost. Don't start if you can't finish. Jesus was honest. We are all guilty. I don't want the people I love rejecting Jesus. So I try and make it as easy as possible. My kids, I understand so well. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I've got 19 grandchildren. I want them all so badly to believe. But the answer is not, just pray after me. You can keep on smoking pot or drugs, keep on sleeping with your girlfriend, or divorce your wife, your husband, because you can't take it anymore. Just pray a prayer. That's not the answer, because sooner or later, when things start getting difficult, they are going to walk away. We cannot make this any clearer than what Jesus did. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves into this world. Against an overwhelming or vast majority. There are wolves out there and you are a sheep. No power. No sheep can overpower a wolf. The only way it can do it is that if he has a good shepherd who will fight for him. My brothers and sisters, are you sure you want to do this? This Because that is what Jesus was actually asking from those who wanted to follow him. We are on the unpopular side, and it is going to grow much worse. Even hermanos, just because you are a member of Shofar Church. We just heard there are even Christians, or so-called Christians this town, who warn people that move to Hermanus, do church hopping, find yourself a church, but skip Shofar. Don't even go there. And of course, then they land up here. The world will hate born-again believers with a vengeance. These are questions I had to ask myself as I was preparing this message. Am I really prepared to even die for what I believe? Are you sure? Some of us have such a lot of things, and to renounce that, all that, easy if we were living in the slums of India or war-torn Ukraine or even a township here next to us. Easy to renounce because it can only be better than that what we have at the moment. But many of us have so much. But I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us, if you want to follow Jesus, I will put my spirit in you, and then you will be able to pick up your cross and follow me. Church, we must wake up. We are living in perilous times. I just close with this scripture. Jeremiah 9:23. The Lord says, let not the wise man bask in his wisdom, nor the mighty man in his might, nor the rich man in his riches. Let them boast in this alone, that they truly know me. And understand that I'm the Lord of justice and of righteousness, whose love is steadfast, for in this I delight. Amen. Father God, let's just close our eyes. Father God, all of us want to know you more. But more than that, we want to be known by you. When one day we stand before you, we don't want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. But rather, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were obedient to my words, to your word. Many of us, Lord, are so ignorant. We do not know how to begin. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of wisdom, and you will teach and guide each one of us, so that we will fulfill Father's purposes with every life. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone needs prayer, or if you want to stone me, I'll be right waiting in front, okay? Be blessed. Have a wonderful day.